Good morning and welcome to another episode of Bold Business. I'm your host, David Grosso from GenFKD, a nonprofit dedicated to promoting millennial economic empowerment. Today, my co-host is none other than Sarah Hill, the co-founder of Bookster. Welcome back, Sarah. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Always great to have you here. Our next author is Yaron Brook, who has written and co-authored several books and is also the chairman of the Ayn Rand Institute.
As co-author with Don Watkins of the national bestseller, Free Market Revolution, How Ayn Rand's Ideas Can End Big Government, Yaron recently released a new book, In Pursuit of Wealth, The Moral Case for Finance. Please welcome Yaron Brook. You're quite a prolific writer.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Very much so.
So how'd you get involved in this work? I read a little bit of your story. You were growing up in Israel, if that's correct.
That is true.
And you more or less were a fan of, socialism.
Yes.
And then you read Ayn Rand's books. And
wait, you've done your research.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I do a little profile
good.
On everyone who comes on the
That's
show.
Good. So I read Atlas Shrugged when I was 16. Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand's novel, and I fought it because all the ideas in it were opposite of what I believed in at the time, and I'd throw the book on the wall and I'd argue with Ayn Rand. And by the end of the book, I was convinced she was right. I'd been wrong. And since then, that was exactly 40 years ago. That's kind of scary. And since then, I've basically studied her ideas, and I'm more convinced than ever that she was right and I was wrong. So those ideas really stuck.
So she was. What was your initial idea that you were wrong about?
Do
you
remember? A lot of ideas, but I'd say fundamentally, the idea is. That the purpose of life is to live for other people, right? In Israel, it's big that your purpose in life is to live for the state or to live for the Jewish tribe or whatever it happens to be, right? And the point is that the moral purpose of life is to sacrifice for others. It's to be selfless. And Ayn Rand teaches the exact opposite. She says, why is other people's happiness more important than your happiness? Isn't the purpose in life, shouldn't the purpose in life be your own happiness, your own flourishing, your own success as a human being? So that was a revolution in my mind. I mean, I was kind of committed to the cause, right? And of course, as a derivative of that, it's also an economic issue. I was a socialist. The point of life is to sacrifice for the poor or for whoever doesn't have as much as you do, and redistribution of wealth and capitalism is kind of evil and bad. And Ayn Rand suddenly convinced me that, wait a minute, why is it wrong for people to pursue their passion, to start companies, to make money? How do you make money if not by creating products and services that other people want? Aren't you making the world a better place to live by making money? Isn't that the process by which we improve the world around us? Yes. So I became a huge advocate of capitalism. So I'd say she got rid of kind of the moral altruism, the idea of living for other people. I became committed to the idea of rational long-term self-interest and rejected socialism and became committed to capitalism as really the only moral ethical system possible to human beings.
So you've written a lot of books, but your most recent one is called In Pursuit of Wealth, The Moral Case for Finance.
Yes.
You don't hear finance and morals usually in the
Ever.
Same sentence.
No.
Especially, the recent financial crisis, a lot of people blame the big banks, yes. et cetera. What brought you to the place to write this book?
Exactly what you just said. The fact that you never hear them together. The fact that there's this massive injustice. Massive injustice. Since Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple, financiers are being perceived as the devil, right? If you go to Shakespeare and the Merchant of Venice, it's Shylock, the greedy, horrible Jewish moneylender. If you go to Dante, moneylenders are on the seventh rung of hell, being dragged by the bag of gold around their necks down into the fires. We all have this negative, awful perception of who and what financiers do. And yet, everything we have around us.
Everything
we have around us would not be possible if not for Steve Jobs getting that first investment from a venture capitalist, an evil financier, or Sam Walton getting a bank loan to expand so that he can build, Walmart. Everything around us, literally everything around us, is made possible by the fact that financial markets are incredibly efficient. And incredibly productive at allocating capital efficiently to its most productive use so that the stuff we all enjoy is made possible. And if we go to the financial crisis, that's exactly the example. every single financial crisis for the last 2,000 years has been blamed on financiers. And yet, when as economists, we step back a little bit and put aside our emotions and actually examine the facts, what we discover is it's not their fault. Almost all these financial crises, including in particular this one in 2008, are caused by bad, stupid government policies. In this case, Federal Reserve policies and housing policies that the federal government instituted. Bankers were no more greedy in 2007 and 2008 than they were in any other point in time. They were always greedy. The whole point of finance is to make money off of money. That's their job. They did a great, they did well at it, but the incentives created by government.
So what about, for like example, like Bernie Madoff and the whole pyramid scheme, all of those people were out of their retirement savings because they gave him money. Is that, how do you justify that?
I don't justify it. He's a crook.
Yeah.
Right? We've always known they're crooks. They're crooks in every field in life. They're people who will mug you in the street. They're bad, evil people in the world. And there's no more crooks in finance than in any other field that exists. And the problem is that when we lump Bernie Madoff with Jamie Dimon, let's say, who's a good banker at J.P. Morgan, or lump it with venture capital, or lump it in with a bunch of hedge fund managers who do a great job. Of course, everybody, you've had other guests on who talk about 401ks and all these things where people put money away and they get in return and we save for retirement. How are we going to do that if we don't have financiers? I mean, aren't we dependent to have our retirement? Are we dependent on having places to invest our money on the existence of robust, efficient financial markets and institutions? Shouldn't we say thank you that you guys exist so that we can actually make a return on our money? Because imagine if you had to go out there and figure out where to invest your money directly into companies. I mean, very few of us are very good at that.
So, Aaron, I'm a business conservative. I'm a big fan of capitalism, but I'm going to channel the other side here for a second because, you know, I don't want people to think that we're not, you know, challenging all our panelists here. What about people who say, you know, people who follow Ayn Rand are selfish, they're not considering the general welfare of others? I'm sure you get this question a lot,
yes.
But it's something that we can't leave off the table here.
Absolutely. And it's true. I am selfish. I don't consider the general welfare. I don't know what the general welfare is. I don't know what's good for you guys. I mean, you guys know what's good for you. Each one of you knows. I am an individualist. I believe that the best person to know what's good for you is you. And for some central planner to pretend that he knows what's good for society, what's good, anybody who tells me I want to do this for the general welfare, run for the hills. Because that's what...
So basically every politician.
Every politician, absolutely. Absolutely, because what they're after is power over you. They're not after your interest, because the best person to determine your interest is you. What I want my politicians to do is leave me alone. Protect me from Bernie Madoff, and other than that, leave me alone.
So what's the role of regulation then? There is smart regulation then.
No. No, there isn't. I don't know of what smart regulation is. There is
That's
no...
a bit extreme, isn't it? Shouldn't we need regulation for safety, for environmental protection, et cetera?
Right. No, I don't believe that. If you look at workplace safety was improving dramatically before we had OSHA. It continues to improve with OSHA, but there's no evidence to suggest that OSHA actually made workplace safety greater. What the thing that makes products safe, the thing that makes workplace safety safe... is the profit motive. It is not helpful to business to create products that, you know, damage people. You're going to get sued. Nobody's going to buy your stuff. Imagine if McDonald's started selling tainted meat. Would you ever go back to McDonald's? No. So the best thing in terms of regulating health and safety is the marketplace. So, yes, I am more radical than a conservative economist, obviously.
More radical than
more radical than almost anybody. Almost anybody.
I mean, I'm kind of mouth open over here.
I know.
I believe
but that's
in regulation.
Good. I don't.
Just for the record.
I don't. I believe that central planning always messes it up.
I mean,
and regulation is what caused the financial crisis. It's the idea that somebody knows how to determine market structure better than the market, how to determine what products are safe and not safe better than the market. Those are the ideas that cause problems. Those ideas that cause crises, and I'm against all that. I'm for individuals pursuing their rational long-term self-interest. Call that selfish? Fine. Selfish means taking care of self. I believe we should each take care of ourselves, and if we do that well, we don't need other people's welfare. We don't need to redistribute wealth. We don't need regulators to oversee us. How about being responsible for our own lives?
Well, Aaron, you know, I'm glad people like you exist because this is an important conversation to have. And I think
Absolutely.
You make a lot of good points, but we disagree on several points that we don't have time to discuss.
I'm not surprised by that. But have me back on and we'll keep delving
into our
disagreements.
Oh, we'd love to have you back on. Absolutely. Aaron Brook, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you.